Today's Bible reading is from John chapter 18, verses 1 to 11. When he had finished prayer, Jesus left with his disciple and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side, there was a garden, and he and his disciple went into it. Now Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place, because Jesus has often met there with his disciples. So Judas came to the garden, guarding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and the Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want, Jesus of Nazareth?" They replied, "I am he," Jesus said, and Judas the traitor was standing there with them. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again, he asked them, "Who is it you want, Jesus of Nazareth?" They said, Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. If you are looking for me, then let this man go." This happened so that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled. "I have not lost one of those you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup of the Father has given me?" This is the word of God.
Amen. Thank you, Belinda. So we're continuing our series on More Than a Name. We know there is no name above the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. But I'm always like, no, but it's more than just a name. So each week I'm going to take us through a station of a particular part of Jesus' life that you may have missed or you may find intriguing. And this one here is something I'm very excited about. So last week we learned about him asking, "Who am I?" Okay, and we were learning about what it means to see what Jesus was confronting. Who am I? Who am I to you? Who am I to them? Here we're going to see something extremely powerful. So you've seen the story. There is Jesus. How many people have seen the Passion of the Christ movie? And a few. Right, in that Garden of Gethsemane, there's a small handful of guys coming to arrest him. And so I'm a details man. So in the Bible, it says it's a troop. And so I went away and found out what a troop was. So actually, in those verses, it says it's... So you can go to the first slide. So I've given you the notes here. So it's actually a small detachment of soldiers, okay? Yeah, here we go. I promised you notes, right? So here they are, right? So there is a detachment of soldiers and some officials. So this ain't just a handful of guys. This is a troop. There's quite a few people here. Not, I put F-O-R, or it should be you. Not four or five. There's a handful. Why am I making a big deal about the number of people? Because what's going to happen next? Second thing is Jesus asked them, which is a silly question because he knows why they're there, and he says, "Who are you looking for? Who are you come for? And they say, "Jesus of Nazareth." And then he then says the words, "I am he." Okay? And everyone knows what happens next. Has anyone ever asked, you guys are so rowdy, can you just quiet down, please? You get too excited, you lot. When Jesus said, "I am he," this crowd of men that have come to arrest him with weapons and torches all get landed off their feet. And why am I saying this? Because this is of utmost importance for us when we understand who Christ really is. Because we always play him as this suffering servant and he's just, so sweet and lovely. And here you're going to see Jesus showing his authority. He's going to do it physically and then he's going to do it verbally just to make sure that everyone knows what's happening. If you're watching here, he drops everyone to the floor. Really absolutely key here. When they get back to their feet, he asked them again, "Who are you here for?" Again, he asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they said. Jesus answered, "I told you that I'm him." if you're looking for me, then let these men go. And it says there, this happened so that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled, which is in John 17:12. And he says, no one that you have given me, Lord, I will lose. Just a backdrop here before we move on. Jesus at that moment, and you need to know this, was letting them know who he was, his sovereign power, by letting them come off their feet by the words, I am he, because they mean something in English. Or they mean something in English and it means something in Aramaic and Greek, which is completely different. Imagine this, just imagine this, church. You're one of those soldiers come to arrest him. You've been knocked off your feet by those words. And you're picking yourself back up and you've got to arrest him. And then he asks you again. I'd be worried to say, ask, if he said, who are you looking for again? I'd be frightened to ask again after what just happened. Now, then he says, right, okay, let these men go. You have to imagine the scene, church. What are they going to do after what just happened to them? They're going to let the guys go. We're not. So we don't see this only in the words it's shown. That they at that moment knew who Jesus was as far as power and authority because they felt it physically. So this means everything for us, because if Jesus is who he says he is, this has to be true. Okay, are you looking for me? Now you can arrest me. Only now can you arrest me. Before, not until we've established who's in charge here. And before you arrest me, let these guys go. Okay. I like the way you looked over there when I pointed, like as if they were standing there. There you go. It's great. We have an interactive crowd. Right? It's brilliant. So let's continue. So right, these words are being fulfilled, right? So two words. So if you go to the next slide for everybody. Two words, ego eimi. Okay. A little bit like eni, not close. Jesus is saying you're nearly there, you're not quite there, right? So these words here, ego eimi, isn't, when you hear the words I am in the Bible, like I am Martin, I am Sandra, I'm Jill. No, these words I am, ego eimi, is talking about him as God. And I've given you, so it's a divine name. It's the I am, which was first revealed to Moses in Exodus 3:14, when God said to Moses, I am who I am. Ego eimi, this is I am. And then you'll see, I'm going to show you something here in the book of John, just to kind of flesh this out for you. So in the next slide, in John chapter 8, verses 54 to 58, Jesus replies and he says these. He's having an argument with the Pharisees. They say, your father Abraham rejoiced in the thought of seeing my day. He's saying to them, your father Abraham rejoiced in seeing my day. Now think of this, guys. Abraham's way, way back, right at the beginning of the Old Testament, and Jesus saying that he saw him. The book of Galatians says that the gospel was preached to Abraham beforehand, which people go, wait, that can't be right. Gospel's way up here. No, it was preaching. He saw the vision of the Gentiles being included. What's this? You are not yet 50 years old, they said to him, and you have seen Abraham? Very truly, I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham, what's these words? It sounds grammatically incorrect. Listen to me, I didn't even go to school and I'm saying that, right? Truly I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. Shouldn't that say I was? I am. Because it doesn't mean I am as in it's me, it's ego eimi. I am that I am. I'm the one who was before beginning of time. I am God. And they took up stones to throw at him. So now whenever you read verses and you see Jesus making a simple comment like I am, and they're wanting to kill him, now you know why the Jews would want to kill him, because he just said to them, I am God. And they're like, you can't be God. You don't have the authority to be God. You're just a man. He's like, nope, that's me right here. Okay, so what we're seeing, why am I telling you this stuff here? So we're seeing the voluntary surrender of Jesus. Now, one of the things I tend to have a little bit of a bugbear with when people say Jesus was killed and taken, and I say, no, not really. Jesus volunteered to be taken. So despite the power being shown, Jesus lets himself be arrested. He lets them arrest him. Again, picture the scene. You're the guard coming to grab him. He's taken you off your feet. And now you're saying, here, take me. And I love doing this because I thought, what would it be like to be that person trying to arrest him after what just happened? Wouldn't you feel a little bit tentative doing that? Wouldn't you be the one saying, well, I don't want to go first. Go on, you do it. And he's like, I ain't touching him, you go. And he's like, and he's, look, he's letting us arrest him. which underscores his words in John 18, no one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. This is the Jesus I love. This is the Jesus I trust, right? This is the Jesus that's my Saviour. This is the one who has all authority. The blessed Lamb, this is the person who has sole authority and power. No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord. My own accord. So here we have like a physical manifestation and a verbal one, and we're going to see this verbal one displayed again. So the purpose of this moment, okay, is to reveal his divine identity in his arrest, to show that he is in complete control throughout the whole time. And he's not a victim. We mustn't ever see Jesus as a victim. He wasn't a victim. This was all pre-planned. As tough as it was, Jesus knew what was coming. And this was to contrast divine power and human weakness. Two ways, Jesus showing, having divine power and allowing himself to be weak, but also showing the difference between earthly power and divine power. What do I mean? Well, these guards that came to arrest him and some of the Pharisees were an authority in themselves. Actually, a very strong authority as far as what was going on around that time. They had the rule of everything. So think of your Jesus at that point, at the most weakest, when they've come to arrest him, completely outnumbered, and he knocks them off their feet first and says, now you can arrest me. Let's establish some boundaries first before you think you can just come and arrest the Son of God like I'm nothing. Do you see it? What's happening? And I love this about him. So he's not being bullish and he's not being arrogant. He's just setting some boundaries. Okay? You got it now? Right. Now you can arrest me. Right? So good. And this is the paradox of Jesus. All powerful, yet meek. Able to level armies, but chooses the cross. Chooses the cross. And I love this apartment. And so, application and reflection of this. So, Jesus is not taken by force, he surrenders in love. And what's he surrendering to? He's surrendering to the Father's will. You remember, we're going to do the cup soon, and we're going to do communion that day, which is going to make the communion really powerful. But this love is Jesus surrendering to the Father's love, knowing what's coming for him, knowing how terrible it's going to be and how painful it is, but knowing what it's going to achieve at the end. So we see here that when we truly encounter Christ's presence and authority, we're undone, or we should be like those soldiers. Jesus, even in his suffering, I'm a guy's guy, see, he's still Lord. You see him suffering and you see him, I mean, think about this. Beaten, rejected, turned on by people he trusted, isolated. And yet at no point in his suffering is he not Lord. He could cheat, he could try to go around, he could have taken Satan's offer, bow to me and I'll give you this whole kingdom. And Jesus is like, no. Why? One, because I'm not a megalomaniac. And two, if I do that, then no one will be saved and the people will suffer. So, and two, by the way, that kingdom is not yours. You think it's yours. It's actually mine. And I'm going to come and I'm going to take it anyway. So it doesn't really, you're offering me nothing, really, apart from a bit of fame and fortune. And he doesn't need it. This is my next bit. It's one of my favorite ones. So Jesus' response to Pilate's claim of authority. This is important for you to realize. Here's Jesus at this sham trial. Poor Pilate. Actually, if you read the Bible, Pilate's trying not to arrest him. Some people think Pilate was agreeing. Pilate was doing his best to not get involved. He was like, I don't really want... So I've heard it said that when Pilate washed his hands, he was washing his hands kind of off the whole situation. I'm like, no, he was washing his hands off this trial. He's like, I'm not having part... Listen, I'm doing it because you're telling me, but this isn't me. And it was a clever move on his part because I would have been the same. Like, I'll go along with it, but I'm not this. Jesus knew it wasn't him, by the way, because he didn't hold them responsible. So when you hear Jesus saying, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do, the ones who were killing him, the ones who were being used, weren't the ones that were really killing him. It was the ones calling for his death that he had his eye on. They were just kind of patsies, as they say. So during Jesus' trial, Pilate goes out. Now you can count Three times Peter denies Jesus, right? If you count, Pilate affirms Jesus three times. It's so weird. And I'm thinking, is there a connection here? Like God redeeming him being denied and being affirmed. Pilate goes out three times saying, I can't find anything wrong. Why'd you, and they go, crucify him. He's like, I can't find anything wrong. So he goes to Jesus in a panic. This is this bit. And he says, look, say something. Don't you know I have the power, which he did, to either kill you or to free you? And it's so funny because based on what we've just learned, Jesus looks at him and says, what? Like if it was today, you have no authority over me at all. He says here, you would have no power over me if it weren't given to you from above. So Jesus, again, you've seen it physically, you've heard it verbally, and you're seeing it verbally now. To the person in power, Jesus reaffirming to him, you're not in charge here, I am. In layman's terms, you know, let's have it right, Pilate. If I wasn't meant to be standing here today and you had dragged me here against God's will, you'd be in so much trouble right now, it wouldn't even be funny. Because what did he say to Peter when Peter tried to defend him? He said, Peter, I could call on my father and we'd have a whole legion of angels coming to fight. I'm not worried about men trying to hurt me. And there's Peter's flesh, takes out his knife. And just picture the scene. This is the way I'm a visual guy. I like to visualize things. There's Jesus being arrested. Peter being Peter, which could be me, I don't know. I don't think I would. But Peter can't wait. He takes out his sword, thinking he's doing him a service. He cuts off Malchus's ear in the fight. And there's Jesus trying to be arrested, trying to take control. And he's like, Peter, what are you doing? And Peter's like, what? We're having a fight, mate. He's like, what are you doing? And he's like, hang on a sec. He said, Malchus, I'm sorry, mate. And he's like, and he's picking up his ear. While this craziness is going on, and he's healing this guy's ear, he's like putting his ear back on. It's like a comedy show, right? You wouldn't see it at a time, but I can imagine Jesus thinking, what's he like? And he's probably telling the soldiers, what's he like? I have to live with him. He's sticking, and the guy's like, what? Because you can't hear. And he's like, yeah, here you go. He said, you're speaking to my good ear. He says, like, anyway, don't want to make a funny scene, but I love this part of this series because Jesus, the one that we have, has all authority, guys. He has all authority. He's not taken against his will and beaten and think he's giving himself to this. He's allowing this. So key insight. So Jesus challenges the illusion, and it is an illusion, of earthly power. You need to think about this in the world we live in today. Because we see we have governments and we have powers, which we're told to obey, by the way, unless we're told to contravene our own faith. But who's really in charge? Who's really in charge? And that's why this starts. So Rome's authority is subordinate to God's sovereignty. This is the insight. And so he claims that divine providence governs human authority. So like subtly affirming his own superiority, even while he's on trial. So even while Jesus is actually a victim in the trial, he's subtly letting them know who's really in charge here. Okay, let's ground rules. Because I tell you why I say this. This ain't a macho thing and a power thing. This is a humility thing. Jesus is saying, no, I'm giving myself. I'm letting you arrest me. I'm letting you hurt me. I'm letting you punch me. I'm letting you spit on me. I'm letting you isolate me. And I don't like it, and it's horrible, and it's fearful. And there's that bit in the Garden of Gethsemane. I was speaking about it yesterday. And it always breaks my heart where Jesus is saying, can't you just stay awake for like 1 hour? And I will say, you have to be in a situation with him. Who in this room has been in a really, when I say like a really tough situation, where something's been very dire in your life? Anyone have one of those? I think we've all had one. And what is the first thing you want, apart from it being solved? Company. Am I wrong? The first thing you want is just some company. I just want some friends around me. Just to, because what you're trying to do, you're trying to share the load. I'm kind of scared, and I don't know where it's all going to go. And I always feel sorry for Jesus in the garden when he's having a fleshy moment. And he's saying, can't you just stay awake for 1 hour? Like, I'm feeling, it's bad enough I'm already on my own, that you can't physically just be there for me. And I thought, my heart breaks when I see that. So we see here, that this response flips the courtroom story and becomes the true judge. Jesus is really the judge of what's going on. God's the true judge.
And so there's something I want to do. Has my mic gone off?
Just
try it again. You're hearing right?
It's just for the recording.
Okay. I'll just hold it to come into them.
1, 2, 1, 2. So we're going to do something slightly different. Think about what I've just been saying. Think about this Jesus. Think about our Saviour being taken against his will, being brutally beaten, being crucified. But then think about the authority that you've seen here. Setting the standard of letting people know, you don't arrest me, I'm in charge. I have sovereign power, sovereign will, and I give myself willingly. I have a question. I don't want you to answer. We're going to leave you and we're going to spend a bit of time and I'm going to pray. The question is this. If the presence of Jesus could bring an army to its knees, what fears, shame, burdens are we trying to carry on our own? I want you to think for yourself. We all carry things, all kinds of different things that we are embarrassed about or ashamed about or wish we could change, or parts of our life that we feel hopeless. And I want you to think of this Jesus.
We could bring an army to its knees.
Two words. Let's just spend a moment and you think about that between you and God, and I want to pray. So Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that Lord, you would reveal this part of your life to individuals here today, Lord God, that they would know your presence, that they would know your power and your strength and your ability to take authority, Lord God. And I pray, Jesus, that now you would take authority and be given authority into the places in our lives that maybe we've hidden from you, or we felt we didn't want you to know. And that, Lord, you would help to take those burdens off those who are carrying these fears. Or anything that's kept anyone back from maybe doing something, maybe there's fear or worry or doubt, and Jesus wants to come and he wants to take authority in that situation in your life and to let you and whatever's holding you back, that he's the sole authority. And in the name of Jesus, I pray for this congregation and everyone here, whether visiting or part of this church family, Lord God, that you would be the authority in their situation. And if they don't really know you, Lord God, that they'd come to know you in a greater way. And if they already know you, Lord, that they would know you even more powerfully in this situation, where they never really thought of you as the supreme authority or never realized that you were exercising your authority as the ego in me, the I am. Father, I pray for breakthrough in all areas. I pray for opportunities, Father Lord, for these people here, Lord, our family, where they may have been hindered or held back pray that those doors would be reopened and that hope would be restored and that confidence would be rebuilt. And more than anything else, Father, Lord, that a relationship, a deeper relationship with you would be established because of that. Father, we love you and we know that you love us. We know, Lord, that we only love you because you first loved us. And we don't love you, Lord, because you're good, but we love you, Lord, because we're good, but we love you because you're good. You always are and you always will be. So, Father, we praise your holy name. Amen. Anyone feel encouraged this morning? Anyone have a different idea of who the